The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This is Nick Wright. It is a Thursday morning here in New York City. You guys look great. Feel great?
Absolutely. Love your
good
hair
stuff.
Today, Jenna Wolf.
Thanks. I'm going curly. I love yours, especially. There's a little more growing there. On the program today, why is LeBron James ticked off at Kevin Durant? Was Baker Mayfield's Sunday stare down out of line? And what is the latest with Tom Brady's injury, non-injury? Let us start right there. It was not long ago we were discussing the five-time Super Bowl champion playing until he was 45. But with a rumored MCL injury, an arm that seems to be deteriorating, and just a week left in a season surrounded by question marks, it looks like Father Time might just be catching up to Tom Brady. But if you ask the 41-year-old yourself, there's no question he'll be back in 2019.
I absolutely believe I will. I know I've talked about it for a long time. You know, I have goals to play not only next year, but beyond that. And I'm going to try to do it as best I possibly can. I'm going to give it everything I have, like I always have. It'll certainly be a challenge. I don't take any of these things for granted, but I hope I can keep playing. I hope I can keep playing at a championship level. I'm feeling really good, Jim. It's been 15 weeks of football, and there's always bumps and bruises you deal with, but I'm feeling great for this time of year. I'll take it every year to be feeling as good as I am at this time in the season.
So Tom Brady saying he does feel really good, did not deny the MCL injury, important to note. See, what was your reaction to all of what Tom Brady had to say?
It was great. In the last couple years, Tom Brady has given us insight that we typically don't get as far as great players, their involvement, what they do as far as their body, with their body, what they do in their off time, things that we just don't or aren't allowed to see. He's given us that of late. And I believe him that he said he wants to play into his mid-40s. I don't know why that would have changed if he had 4,500 yards or 3,500. Bill Belichick, he's always been consistent. We're going to go year to year. At the end of the year, we're going to evaluate it. But Tom said some things that are very, very important, things that are beyond money. He realizes that going out there and being a part of a football team is very, very rewarding. It's just not about the wins and the losses. It's about his life. It's about him being able to push himself, to have an actual goal week in and week out, and to be going at that goal with a bunch of teammates that he enjoys going to work. Like, and when you get to a certain point as far as your career, you've been very, very successful, the ability to be able to get in your car, drive where you want to, and go to a place that you're happy with, that's beyond money. So when Tom Brady keeps talking about that, I enjoy doing what I'm doing, and I know there's going to be very few things as rewarding as the accomplishments that he accomplishes as a player. Yeah, we do other things. You're involved in businesses. You're involved in your kids' lives. But they are not like being a star in the NFL. And he realizes the power of it and the drive that it takes to do it, that I look for Tom Brady to play another couple years. As long as he doesn't get injured, what he has there with the Kraft family and Belichick is very, very special. And you don't have to bring this to Tom's attention for him to know that. He realized that, and I'm glad he was able to talk about it and express it.
I'm not surprised at all that Brady still wants to continue to play, that Brady still wants to play. He has said 45. And so until he changes that, that would mean that four more years going on from this one. I'm going to assume that's what he wants. I also think, as we are people that watch and appreciate Tom Brady, but also evaluate Tom Brady, we have to start looking at him through the prism of he is, it would appear, onto a different part of his career, a part of his career where he can channel greatness for individual moments, but he is not consistently great over a 16 and what he would want, a 19 or 20 game season.
Wait, are you saying he's moving into that or he's currently in that
phase? He's in that right now. Okay. I think right now I think this year he has shown us he is in the phase of still a really good player. But last year, he was the league MVP. Like, so, I mean, the drop-off between league MVP and really good player is a significant one. And if history tells us anything, even though Tom Brady has held it off better than any quarterback we've seen, that once that deterioration does come, it doesn't stop.
Right.
You don't all of a sudden bounce back up. I've talked about the part of Brady's career that didn't make sense to me was the last 5 years, because the deterioration came and then he reached heights we had never seen from him before, aside from maybe that 2007 season. But I don't think you're going to have that same bounce back now that he's into his 40s.
The one thing that I wouldn't want to overreact to is if we look at the last four or five MVPs in the league, let's look at them. Let's look at who they might be.
Uh-huh.
You know, that being
Brady, Ryan, Cam, Brady, Rogers, Brady.
Yeah, look at all their stats. Now, the reason why Tom Brady's more significant is because he's 41. But look at all their stats. Matty Ice, has he gotten back to that level? No. What about Cam? No. What about Aaron Rodgers? No. So saying that, yeah, he was the MVP, and yes, he is 1 year older, but all the other MVPs the last several years. So I just want to make sure that I'm fair to Tom and I still give him an opportunity, because if that offense is tinkered with, if he has more consistent play outside, if Gronk had been healthy, is it the surroundings or is it Tom Brady's age? To me, I believe it is a combination of he lost his left tackle. All right? He's lost a number of other key ingredients that has had his play suffer also.
But hasn't Tom Brady also earned, I don't know, a crude experience where he could get the benefit of the doubt a little bit, that maybe a year where someone else was playing the way he's playing, they don't stay in, that he gets to play out the year, play out 2 years?
I know Belichick might not feel this way. I feel like Tom Brady gets to decide his own exit plan. I feel like whatever you feel like Tom Brady's expiration date is, he gets to add another full year to it, if not more. I mean, damn, Eli Manning seems to have earned that. What has Tom Brady earned then with 8 Super Bowl appearances, 5 championships, as good of a statistical resume as any
Except
quarterback
that you have
ever.
Bill Belichick there, who would he also subscribe to that?
Well, I don't know that he will, but I do know this. They don't have an heir apparent. That guy's playing in San Francisco. Well, he's not even playing in San Francisco. He's living in San Francisco waiting to play. Like, they have, even if Belichick was seeing some of the writing on the wall that I'm seeing, what's he going to do? Like, what is the plan for the Patriots other than number 12?
And this is one of the things I love about the NFL compared to some of the other leagues, because in baseball, you know, you can play a year or two well beyond as we know you as a player, because you're not going to get hurt. NBA, man, you could be the 12th guy, you could be the 13th guy, man, you could play a few minutes, be the 10th guy. They can protect you. You're not going to get hurt. In the NFL, the thing I love is, yeah, Tom Brady might have earned that, but he's not going to get it because it's the NFL. Like, they can't protect you. If you look at all of our great players, how'd they get out of the game?
They got knocked out.
They got knocked out. So Tom Brady, what's going to happen to him? He's going to get knocked out of the game just like the rest of them. That's one thing I try to communicate to players. That's the one thing we all have in common. One day, man, you got to go. One day they're going to slide your name plate off, slide someone else's name plate in there, and someone, for the most part, not Tom Brady, someone's going to be wearing your jersey, and it's going to be time to move on. That's retirement in the NFL. So Jerry Rice, did he play a couple years beyond the Jerry Rice? Yeah, of course he did, but he was a shell of himself. He got knocked out of business. John Elway got knocked out of the business. Dan Marino got knocked out of the business. I hope Tom Brady doesn't. But that's what happens in the NFL.
And Elway might be the one exception, right, because of the way he left. Like, his play was...
If you know football, you know John Elway got knocked out of the business. John Elway could not run anymore. John Elway wanted to continue to play, but he couldn't. He did not have the legs to be able to play any longer. And that was a defensive-dominated
and a running
football team.
No doubt. He just got to leave it at his moment of highest glory, even if he wasn't the player that was going to the Super Bowls in the 80s and early 90s based on his arm. It was more based on the team around him.
Wasn't what Peyton did, too?
Peyton, it was odd, because Peyton, we know, we could, that was obvious. Peyton got totally benched. He got benched, came back. But I'm glad you mentioned Peyton Manning, because Tom Brady's obviously not in the phase Peyton was in his last year of his career, the year they did win a Super Bowl. But he might be in the phase Peyton was in that second to last year. Like, look at Peyton's second to last year. We broke it up into 3 segments. Those first 7 games, he was amazing. 119 rating, 22 touchdowns, 3 picks. The next 5, he was pretty good. 95 rating, 14 touchdowns, 6 picks. Those last 5, including a home playoff loss to Indy, he was bad. And then the next year, he was awful, awful enough that he got hurt, and then he got benched, and then they put him in for Osweiler. So for Peyton, it came like this. It went from record-setting season, league MVP, a really good year, amazing start to a year, to washed like that. I'm not saying that Brady is washed. He obviously isn't. But for Peyton, one of the greatest ever, it came within a season out of nowhere. You can't say that Tom Brady is immune to that. Nobody's immune to that.
All right, from one superstar to the next. Coming up, has LeBron James and Kevin Durant's relationship become toxic? That's next on First Things First.
Hey, guys, it's Nick Wright. And look, life insurance is a really unfun topic for most people. Generally, people don't like thinking about dying, and they definitely don't like thinking about life insurance. We understand. And at Policy Genius, we're here to help with these uncomfortable conversations. Here's the thing. Actually, having life insurance feels great. And getting that peace of mind doesn't need to be complicated. It's not only peace of mind for you, but for loved ones knowing they will be left with some security after a tragic event. Policy Genius is the easy way to get life insurance. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find the coverage you need at a price you can afford. It's never a hassle, and you get the help you're looking for from one of their many qualified advisors. If you've been intimidated or frustrated by insurance in the past, give Policy Genius a try. Just go to policygenius.com to get your quotes and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance.
All right, let's move on to LeBron James. It is no secret.
Doing highlights talking about charges.
It is no secret that he and the Lakers are still looking to add pieces to the team. LeBron knows that in order to do that, he'll have to get out on the recruiting trail. One of those pieces he may have recruited this offseason was Kevin Durant. But KD called the environment around the King toxic. And that, according to LeBron, did not sit well. LeBron said he expressed his disappointment to KD, and KD apologized for how the comment was received. All right, Nick, what do you make of LeBron's power to recruit another elite superstar?
I think LeBron got it just right in the interview, which is it's partially him and it's partially the city and the team. He said, and he wouldn't quite reveal, he was like, man, I almost had something put together in Cleveland the first time around. And Rachel Nichols prodded him for who it was. He's like, I'm going to wait on it. But he's like, it was hard to get guys to come to Cleveland. Said it was not hard to get guys to come to Miami. And it will not be hard to get guys to come to Los Angeles. Now, while I think Kevin Durant phrased it in an awkward and kind of unfair way, he's not wrong in that it is a different environment around LeBron than around any other superstar in the league because of the intense scrutiny and coverage LeBron gets and whatever team he's on gets. So you've got to have the right makeup, and you've got to, at this moment, be okay with not being the focal point of an organization, the focal point of a team. So there might be some guys that cross their names off the list from that. But the best player in the world with the greatest franchise in NBA history in arguably the nicest city in the country, all of those things are excellent recruiting tools. They are now all together in one. It's one of the reasons why I've said all along, I would be shocked if the Lakers at this time next season don't have another top six player to go along with LeBron James. I don't think, whether it's via trade or free agency, I don't think they strike out this offseason. I think they have a plan. I think LeBron knows what the plan and is confident they're going to be able to execute the plan.
Yeah, I know it's not as easy as people think to be able to get these collection of players to be able to come there. And I think at the right time, LeBron will reveal some of the other things that went on in Cleveland. It has a lot to do with real estate, has to do with location, and who owns it. You know, Mickey Erickson and what they did with Pat Riley. What made Mickey Erickson a great owner or respectable when he went out and got Pat Riley and let Pat Riley run the basketball operations? That's how they won their first championship. And that's how Pat Riley was able to lure, before LeBron, man, he got Shaq.
Yep.
So there was already a precedent and a belief in Pat Riley and what he could do from a basketball standpoint. So the ownership, who's run the basketball ownership in Los Angeles? It's the Buss family, run now by Pelinka and Magic Johnson. So those are things that LeBron never had that. Man, there was no NBA player trying to partner up right now with Dan Gilbert there in Cleveland. All right? His reputation speaks for itself. And those in the community, his reputation is a little more tarnished than us just covering the game because they know about all the stories and how he held Cleveland back in a certain sense there. So Los Angeles, it is a different ball game. But the thing about it is you have to be careful. If Kawhi decides not to go to the Lakers and decides to go to the Clippers, it's not because LeBron. It's because he feels what is best long-term for his basketball family, for him and his basketball family moving forward. It would have a little bit to do with LeBron, but more to do with Doc Rivers and the support that he can get there with the Clippers.
And about individual timelines as far as how long and when I want to compete for titles, because everyone LeBron would be recruiting is at least 5 years younger than him. LeBron turns 34 in 3 days. Like, there's not a 30-year-old he's going after. It's Kawhi Leonard would probably be the oldest of the guys. Anthony Davis is 25 years old. But the other thing with Kawhi, and I can't speak to his mentality the way C can, but they're just in general, there are guys similar to Kawhi Leonard, maybe Kawhi's one of them, that also want to see, what if it's my team? What if I'm the guy? If Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, I believe it would be to either go to the Clippers, if Kawhi's not there, maybe with him, or more likely to the Knicks, to see my team, my guy, or my franchise, my championship. And I know you think I overrate that, that guys aren't thinking about that. I think in the NBA, there are guys that do look at what LeBron did in Miami in one way and what LeBron did in Cleveland another way. And if he's able to do something in Los Angeles, a totally different way. So I do think there are guys that will cross their name off the list, but they would do it if it was to team up with LeBron or to team up with Durant or to team up with Steph or to team up with James Harden. They want to see if they can be on that level themselves.
Yeah, I do think that you can have more than one face of a franchise. I think we have fallen into, oh, this guy's the face of the franchise. Right now, it's been like, oh, who's the face of Golden State? Like, you can say Steph, but because he's been there the longest. Right. But where would they be without KD? All right, they have a couple less championships without KD. So for me, when you give a guy a max contract, you're paying a guy $40 million, what else you need to tell them? I'm paying you more than anyone on the team. Oh, you're the guy of the franchise. So I think that part right there is a little bit overrated. You pay a guy the top salary, he knows he's a part of that franchise. Oh, is he the face of the franchise? I just believe in the current NBA, there's more than one voice and more than one face. With LeBron is an iconic player, all right? With an iconic player like Kobe, it's totally different, all right? But in this current NBA, what if KD goes to New York? Chris Stapp, KD, whose team is it?
KD's.
But it's both your team. Chris Stapp's going to be there longer. In your mind, it is. But in their mind, what difference does it make? All right, it's about putting a team on the court that can win. Would you rather be with a winner or a guy say, oh, it's my team?
No, I think guys want both, for the record. That's what I think guys want. I think the ideal
we'll
is guys want
We'll see where that's
both.
Available.
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
So I guess my question then is it really toxicity, or is it that guys want to go out and feel like they're the man on a team?
Listen,
I mean, maybe KD's...
What Durant said was
Is that prevalent
nonsense.
In the NBA, that people feel like being around LeBron is toxic?
I mean, if it was prevalent, then I don't think Kevin Durant would have called him to apologize.
Yeah, I don't
said
think
it was taken out of context.
I think the word, Jenna, and we shouldn't use the word... We shouldn't use the word that Durant used, and that's toxic. With LeBron, is it more difficult? Yes. I've been with the Cavs. I've been with the Heat when LeBron traveled with them. And, yes, but you're playing with the best player in the world. It was like that with Magic. My brother was on his team. It was like that with Jordan. I traveled with Jordan, Ron Harper and them. I traveled with them. It was difficult. So what? That's part of being the greatest player in the world. It's not toxic, but you are under the microscope. And the other players, their games are criticized more or critiqued more. So someone critiquing your game, that might be toxic to you because you're spoiled, you're pampered. Oh, that's KD. I'm sorry. But yes, so that's the way. We shouldn't use that word, but under the scrutiny, like
the
no
word.
Other part, no other time in your career, ask Dwayne Wade. He seemed to do all right with it. Chris Bosh, it took him some time to adjust, and then he thrived.
Kyrie raised his game to a whole new level. Kyrie was going.
But decided in the end, this is too much for me.
It was too much for me, and I think Kyrie also decided in the end he wanted to be the star of his own movie. And you and I can disagree on that, but
how's that going for him now?
Well, I think.
Is that his franchise, or whose franchise is Boston?
I think Kyrie is asserting himself in that franchise. But he also, if you remember, Boston wasn't one of the places he was saying, I want to be traded to. But the word C used, that is the word Kevin Durant should have used, and it would have not been controversial, he wouldn't have had to call and apologize to LeBron,
scrutiny.
Is scrutiny. You are, if you play on a team with LeBron, you are going to be one of the most scrutinized players in the world. And you've got to be okay with that. You've got to be able to deal with it. I'll tell you, a guy who I have a ton of respect for, but a guy who struggled with it, Kevin Love. Now, Kevin Love got a championship out of it, got a max contract out of it. But the scrutiny really wore on Kevin Love.
And the truth of the matter is most NBA guys aren't built for that.
Right.
Most of them are pampered. Most of them have been told. They've been through the AAU circuit. They've been all coddled. No, they don't want to be scrutinized like that. No, they don't want to be critiqued like that. They think they're beyond that.
And Kevin Durant found out he wasn't built for it. He had a nice little safe space in Oklahoma City. All the scrutiny went to Russ. They criticized him once. They printed a retraction for it. He goes to Golden State. He's now the most scrutinized player in the league other than LeBron, and he has hated that part of it.
Right.
So, I think that for him it might be toxic. For him, the situation he's in right now might be toxic.
And you also have to realize, too, where LeBron is right now is totally different than the first move to Miami and the second move to Cleveland. Because right now the NBA superstars – they're not Nick Wright. They know LeBron's going to hit a wall, and they know it's going to be soon. So they have to be able to gauge not only LeBron, but what are the other situations around LeBron that we can get other players? Because LeBron's age is a key factor to these other guys deciding. And on this last time, guys might decide, you know something? I might go with Doc Rivers. I might go to New York. I might do that. Yes. Because it's not about LeBron. It's not about being toxic. It's about that is what's best for their basketball brand to be able to move forward.
You know who feeds off scrutiny? Baker Mayfield. He likes it. Was Baker's Sunday stare down out of line?
Baker,
let's break that down next on First Things First.
Hey, guys, we'll get right back to the show. But first, I'm here to tell you about 4Hims. Most guys don't do nearly enough for their skin, despite all it does for them. Soap and water are just not enough to prevent aging. But 4Hims is here to help. Hims Anti-Aging Kit is a custom prescription cream tailored to your skin that can keep your skin looking youthfully smooth by reducing the appearance of wrinkles and fine lines. It can renew and restore skin by increasing collagen, the protein that keeps your skin firm. It takes seconds to apply, and it's the same treatment celebrities use to keep their faces looking young, except you don't have to visit some fancy dermatologist or pay high prices to get it. No more awkward in-person doctor's office visits, and the products are shipped directly to your door. It's your skin. Do you want to be a face in the crowd or the face in the crowd? Order now and save $20 off your first month of the Hims Anti-Aging Kit. Lock in those looks now and get your first month of anti-aging for $20 off. Go to 4hims.com/FirstSC. That's 4hims.com/FirstSC. 4hims.com/FirstSC.
Coming up on New Year's Eve, the Red Box Bowl kicks off between Oregon and Michigan State at 2:30 Eastern on Fox. Then flip over to FS1 as number 17 Utah battles number 22 Northwestern in the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. It's at 6:30 Eastern, or catch it all on the Fox Sports app. Time for us to go viral here on First Things First. Favorite science teacher Jonathan Clark throwing down the double between the leg dunk. We've seen him before.
Okay. Whoa. Jay Clark, the jumper. You said he's a science teacher?
Science teacher.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Well, he's figured it out.
No, that's some good research. He's probably at a Lifetime Fitness right there balling out.
Absolutely.
Now, he definitely makes science way more cool. If he's teaching science, I'm going off in there.
Right?
Yeah, I like that.
See, he would get in the open entry side of your bracket for the dunk contest, right?
He might. I need to see. He got to have a little tryout on the side.
We've had him on the show a bunch of times now.
Okay, yeah, but he's teaching science for a reason.
Wait, do you remember the name of your high school science teacher? They're always the most forgetful ones. Do you remember?
No.
Come on, C.
Oh, I'm gonna, no.
Man, he was our athletic trainer, man. He was not one of my favorite people. I am not going to throw him out there like you. I got his name, Swiger.
Yeah, well, I guess he did. I am not throwing him out there. And his name
Tape
is Swiger.
You extra tight. Don't try to come in the training room and ask for nothing. Look at me now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eat that,
I
Swiger.
I hated the science class, too.
All right. And then there's that. Time for stories to start your morning.
No, I'm not taping you. What are you, the trainer?
LeBron James will remain day-to-day after his Christmas Day scare.
God rest his soul, I think.
He's no longer with us. The Kings MRI on his left groin came back clean earlier this season. Remember, Steph Curry had a strained groin. He missed 11 games. CeCe, any chance this injury lingers for LeBron in this 16th year?
Well, the thing about it, how much patience does he have? Is he able to take the time? You mentioned Steph Curry. Steph did miss 11 games, was able to come back. When he came back now, he came back at full strength, playing significant minutes immediately. It becomes LeBron's got to rely on the training staff. He's a guy that had not been hurt, but he's on the right track because a lot of recovery has to do with diet. So the better shape you're in, the better diet you have when you get injured, the speeds up your recovery.
And all groin strains are not created equal. The one that Steph had that was 11 games could have been more severe, or we might find out less severe than one LeBron had. My guess is he wouldn't miss more than a week. I'm not surprised he's not going to go on this road trip. It's one-game road trip, and then they have four games still in Los Angeles. My guess is he would play at some point during this coming homestand.
One thing made me think that it was more significant was he was in Golden State when that happened. They were going to Sacramento.
Short trip.
They decided to go back to Los Angeles to have their staff and their equipment, and also no one else could see the MRI but them. So for me, it was like, they're going to Sacramento, but they decided to go back to Los Angeles. So I just want to keep my eye on that right there.
By the way, Jenna, Mr. Adams, my physics teacher, one of my favorite teachers ever.
All right, I like
it. Good. Well, good for him.
While we're at it, Mr. Anacone. Moving on to college football, Oregon's quarterback Justin Herbert announced he will return for the 2019 season, regarded as one of the nation's top quarterbacks. He'll wait on the draft and return for his senior year. All right, CeCe, how will this affect the 2019 quarterback draft class?
Well, of course, it's going to affect him, but I'm glad he made the right decision for him. It's not his responsibility to provide the 2019 class with quarterbacks. He should be able to decide, and going back to Oregon, man, they've had a great week in Oregon. Signed the top player, got their quarterback to be able to come back. Man, they're ready to have an outstanding season. I'm glad he did what was best for him. It's not his responsibility as far as the draft. And this year, he went backwards as far as being more efficient as a quarterback. He made the right decision.
This wasn't a huge shock if people close to him. I've heard his younger brother's going to be playing at Oregon next year. He seemed to really want to, I think he's a tight end, want to have a chance to play with him. And if you're a projected top 10 pick as a running back, I think you're kind of crazy if you don't leave. But quarterbacks are different. You're not worried about the wear and tear. And I can't remember the last time there was a quarterback who we thought was a first rounder suffered an injury and we're like, oh, his draft stock is ruined. We see it with other positions all the time. With a quarterback, I do think it is about being as good as you possibly can be when you enter the NFL, especially in today's NFL where there's no redshirt years.
There's so much more to learn at quarterback compared to the other the instinct positions, wide receiver, running back. Their instincts can carry them into the league.
All right, moving on to the Saints. They locked up the NFC's top seed, so Sunday's game against the Panthers is virtually meaningless unless you are Teddy Bridgewater, who was expected to see his first extended action since 2015. See, what are realistic expectations for Bridgewater on Sunday?
I'm glad he's just able to play. I'm sure he has a full hold of the offense and everything. I don't think that there's expectation. I don't know how long the offensive line's going to play. Are they going to support him with a game plan that's as extensive as Sean Payton? You know, or will they be aggressive throwing the ball down the field? So I think Teddy Bridgewater just being on the field as a pending free agent, that's all he needs to be able to start the game and end the game healthy are my expectations.
And the as a pending free agent is the really important part. Like, I believe the Saints wouldn't have traded a third-round pick for him if they didn't want to bring him back. But there's not going to be able to, they're not going to franchise tag him, so he's going to be able to meet with other teams this offseason. So I hope he plays in whatever capacity. I hope he plays well because I think Teddy is a starting quarterback in this league, and I would like to see him have offers as such, even if he turns them down to go back up Drew Brees one more year to then take over.
Let's not forget, as a young quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater led a team to the NFL playoffs. at the doorstep of victory, and the kicker missed a kick against Seattle, them playing at home. So Teddy Bridgewater has led a team already to the playoffs in a young career.
All right, moving on to the Packers. Packers are eliminated from the playoffs. The search for their next head coach has now officially begun, with Green Bay reportedly interviewing Jim Caldwell and Chuck Pagano. See any of these candidates a good fit for the job?
I think both of these candidates, I'm glad that Green Bay did interview them, because for me, I just think that sometimes in this league, and been covering it so long, that sometimes we forget about coaches that have already established themselves. Coaches that typically, what we've seen, even with Bill Belichick being the greatest example, their second time around typically is a better stint in the league. And you talk about Pagano had a tough situation there as far as ownership and their general manager, as far as the players and stuff that they were going to get drafted, what style they were going to play at. But Coach Pagano brought a sense of toughness to the Indianapolis Colts. Man, what does Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers need right now? Man, they need to get freaking tougher. And I think the ultimate compliment for a guy like Coach Pagano was, remember when he got sick and he had cancer? And Bruce Arians took over, and he talked about, Coach, I'm always going to leave the light on for you, and the type of impact that he started having on that community. So for me, it's not X's and O's. I know he's going to tighten up that defense, which they need, but also he is going to be there for Aaron Rodgers to listen. We're going to do this, and I think that Aaron can trust him. Caldwell, he's gotten great results from the quarterback no matter where he has been.
Or who the quarterback
is. He is a stabilizing voice. He is just like Tony Dungy, but on the offensive side. People don't give him credit for the offensive football that he knows, the stability he brings to that quarterback room and to that offense. I believe he is a great candidate, too. So I think the Packers, they are on the right track. No, they're not looking for some young, up-and-coming, the sexy, the spicy, the Sean McVay, as Jenna would say. No, they're going to old veteran coaches who had a try or two and believe that going forward, this is the way to the best way to build a find a coach.
And because they can't be wrong. Just like we were talking about LeBron's age, he ain't going to play forever. Aaron Rodgers is 35. He's not playing forever now. Aaron Rodgers is whomever this coach is, this is going to be his last head coach. And if it's not, it's because a disaster happened and the coach got fired quickly. That's why I don't think the Packers are in position to go for upside unknown. I think you have to go with someone who knows what they're doing. And I'm just really surprised, and I'll be honest, a little disappointed with some of my, not your contemporaries so much in the media, but people more like me, people that didn't play, people that try to analyze the game, the way they have laughed off the Caldwell interview as some Rooney Rule token situation. Jim Caldwell has been an excellent coach in this league. You know how hard it is to get to the playoffs twice with Detroit? Got there twice with Detroit. The 2 years he wasn't coaching in the league as a head coach, he took over as the coordinator for the Ravens, helped Flacco to the best year he's ever had, helped him get that massive contract. The year he took over for Tony Dungy in Indianapolis, they went 14-0.
How old was Peyton in?
They thought Peyton was, people thought that was the beginning of the end there. And Peyton played that year one more year, and then Caldwell ends up getting fired because they don't have a backup plan for Peyton when Peyton's out for the season. He's had one bad year in his career. Both of these coaches have been to the playoffs four times. Both of these coaches have six playoff wins, 6-3 for Pagano, 6-2 for Caldwell. Like, or 6-4, pardon me, for Caldwell. I don't understand why there isn't more respect for what each of these guys accomplished. Pagano wasn't a great, I understand it. His press conferences were very droll. He was very in the middle, and he didn't give you any information. And Caldwell always had this stoic look on his face, so they almost became punching bags. But I think both these guys are good coaches. If I'm a Packer fan, I'd be happy with either one. I would err on the side of Caldwell because I'd want an offensive coach with Aaron Rodgers, but that I think either one of these guys would be a good coach.
Quickly, before we move on, is this decision going to come down to what's best for Aaron Rodgers, knowing this is probably his last stint, or what's best for the Green Bay Packers?
I think that both of those can be with one blow. All right, you got to consider who's your best player. So that will always be a part of it. The Green Bay Packers have been playing football longer than anyone else. They've been playing for 100 years, and they do business the right way. So I think that they will be able to take care of what the franchise needs long term, but also looking at the best player in the league and their best player on the franchise.
All right, let's talk some Baker Mayfield now. Some rookies like to lay low in their first season in the NFL, but some rookies are not Baker Mayfield. In his most recent episode of Not Laying Low, Sunday Stunt, where he stared down his former head coach Hugh Jackson during the Browns-Bengals game, Baker initially denied the reports that he stared him down. Yesterday, he did an about-face and owned up to the stare-down seen around the world.
I don't get why people have a problem with football being a competitive sport. You're supposed to play with emotion. You're supposed to play with passion. Quite honestly, if you don't like it, whatever. Football's not meant to be a soft game. Could care less.
All right, see, what was your reaction to what Baker had to say?
Nothing. No reaction. I'm glad that he's playing the way he's playing. I'm glad he's turned around a city that didn't have hope. I'm glad that he's on. How many wins they have right now?
What, they got seven wins.
Oh, okay. How many they had the last 2 years?
One.
Okay. Like, yes. Look, I've seen other players run up and down the sidelines, a lot like Baker Mayfield. This is not new. In the NFL, man, you'd be shocked. If you go to an NFL game, now typically you're going to have to really know someone to stay on the field for the game. They let you go down before the game, and they'll let you go on the field after the game. But there's a reason why. There is so much that goes on during the game, they don't want the people to see. They don't want the people to hear. There's a lot of trash talking going on. Did we see Taylor Lewan and
Josh Norman?
And Josh Norman?
Man.
So we think not only two players fighting, that we wouldn't have players, a coach maybe, how he said something or did something to a player. We don't think that player is going to have some type of grudge on a player. You think we don't have coaches that call plays against players that were on their team before to sucker them and make them look bad? Absolutely. This is part of the NFL and the game of football. It is an emotional game. You only got 16 of them, and when you go at it, man, you have to go at it with the type of enthusiasm that Baker's going at it, all right? This is how you have to play in the NFL, all right? Hugh Jackson, he's a big boy. He went to Cincinnati. He'll be all right, all right? His ego wasn't bruised from that. Baker Mayfield is out there balling, and he just wanted them to see. Hey, y'all look at me. Y'all see it? Yes, I'm that guy, and I'm happy to see him. He's very, very different. But you know what he is, and the reason why I can embrace it, he is himself. This is the Baker Mayfield I met on the sideline at Oklahoma. This is the Baker Mayfield that the coaching staff rant and rave. This is the Baker Mayfield that was a walk-on twice and shot up the draft board to be the number one pick in the draft.
Is there a downside to that Baker Mayfield? Is there something that could just maybe go awry because he is so brash? Is there something in the NFL that maybe that wouldn't work as a young guy in a locker room?
Baker Mayfield throwing that touchdown and staring down Hugh Jackson or Tom Brady. What pick was he?
199.
What gumption did he have to tell Robert Kraft this is the best draft pick you ever? These guys are made of special, special sauce. All right? Now, we might not like it. It might not be the sauce, because this is the thing that pisses me off. Everyone who analyzes this game, they swear up and down, well, if I was in the game, then I would do this. Well, you're not in the damn game. All right? Baker Mayfield and other people are in the game. And it's up to them to be true to their personality, because it's their career and it's their livelihood.
The most important thing you said was Baker's being who he is. And I'm great with that. I have been begging the general NFL media to allow guys to be who they are, particularly at that position. Quarterbacks have been coached into being monotone, coach speak, quarterback speak, what Russell Wilson's turned himself into. Right? I don't know that who's Russell Wilson really is, but whatever it is, we're getting the most vanilla version of him. I'm glad that Baker has the confidence to be who he really is. I hope the next quarterback who wants to act this way is allowed to as well. The only part about the Baker story is he has seemed to have a lot of things on his resume we've never allowed for number one overall pick quarterback. The crotch grabbing, the flag planting, the arrest. Like, Baker slid past all of it. And I've been consistent on this point. Chris been consistent on this point. Can you play? Are you being authentic? I love all that. But I do want to see the next guy that acts like Baker, if he gets a similar, it's just Baker being Baker, it's just this guy being this guy, that Baker's getting.
The number one thing is, you better be good.
Yeah.
You better be good at what you're doing. All right? Odell Beckham, he goes about it a different way. But what helps him, he's really, really good at it. Antonio. We see some other, especially wide receivers. We have seen them express themselves before. So you better be good at your job. And that's the one thing that Baker Mayfield has. And the things that he's doing, it's a team sport. The reason why you have to be careful is, Nick, how does it affect the team? And Baker Mayfield staring at a coach on the sideline and not saying anything, man, the team is going to be jacked up about that. Him coming into the locker room saying afterwards, oh, what are you talking about? The team is going to be excited about that because that's their leader.
And that's where that differs from what happened with Jalen Ramsey, who had nothing to do with you know, getting his team excited and pumping them up. It was more an individual thing he did, which he might have put his team in jeopardy.
I think his team might have – I think a lot of those defensive players might have read that interview and been like, hey, good for you.
I doubt that.
You don't think so?
I doubt that. No, because no NFL player wants to be criticizing all that many players. Like, he might have been right about, this quarterback, he wasn't that good. But when you go down and you say 10 quarterbacks are bad, there's no way the other 10 guys on that defense are saying, yeah, amen, bro, amen. No, because they know that puts a target on them as a defense, on them as an organization. So they know he went too far.
But what the thing you said about Baker at the end that I had written down from before the show is his teammates clearly love him. And everywhere he's gone, his teammates have loved him, not just because he's a really good player, because of who he is. And this is part of who he is. Like, some people are really rubbed the wrong way by this. They are more accepting of a wide receiver acting a certain way than the quarterback, than the face of the franchise. He's being authentic, man. And I don't know that you're going to get the best Baker Mayfield if you ask him to mute that part of him. I woke up feeling dangerous. That's who Baker Mayfield is now.
Yeah.
And so I think people just have to recognize and learn to accept it.
Yeah, he's Colin Cowherd got to get off his back, too. Colin Cowherd works up every day feeling dangerous, too. He tells people about it. Talking to himself. I'm feeling dangerous talking to myself. But it's cool for him. Now, Baker can't do it in Cleveland.
Got to take a break. Coming up, another dangerous
guy. I can't believe he can't respect
Nick Foles.
The hustle.
Is Foles the quarterback of the future in Philly?
This is a hustle?
Next on First Things First. Here, first things first, we're joined by former Super Bowl champ Chris Kenny. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jenna.
Great to have you.
Good to see you.
Great to be in.
Enjoying
Merry Christmas.
Your holiday?
Happy holidays to everybody.
All of it.
No, it was a great holiday.
Good.
Family came in town. We didn't actually have Christmas until yesterday. My nephews finally got in town. And so that was fun. We all opened the gifts together. It was really nice.
In jail or something?
A little travel delay.
Come on, CC. We had some moving parts. We had some moving parts, but they showed up. That was the biggest thing. It felt like Christmas when the kids got there.
Well, you know what?
When the kids got there.
Merry Christmas then to the Cannies, who are just now realizing it is actually a few days past Christmas.
So much shade, Jenna.
Time for your Subway Choice moment. Canny, a little deja vu all over again in Philly. Nick Foles has stepped in for an injured Carson Wentz and won his last two games to keep the Eagles' playoff hopes alive. That was my script last year. That's my script this year. With players building shrines to Nick Foles in their lockers, Foles getting the start in the season finale Sunday, Doug Peterson could have a quarterback conundrum on his hands if the Eagles sneak into the playoffs. But the head coach told Carson Wentz that he has no need to worry.
I mean, he understands. He knows the situation he's in. He's trying to get healthy. But at the same time, I want him to understand that, you know, hey, you know, he's our guy. He's the guy we drafted. And moving forward, you know, he's our quarterback. And I don't have to sit there and, you know, keep encouraging. You know, he knows that. But we do have conversation. And you know, I try to encourage him the best I can.
Chris Kane, is there anything Nick Foles can do to grab that starting job from Carson Wentz at this point?
Well, long term, no. I think Doug Peterson is absolutely right. The organization has way too much invested in Carson Wentz to decide that he's not going to be their franchise guy for the future. Now, what I will say is this. He's their franchise guy for right now. Based on the way that this team is playing.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. That's what I'm saying.
Nick
Foles is their franchise guy right now, just the way that this team has been playing the last couple of weeks. And you saw it again this past week against Houston. I mean, just the way that he was able to perform, throwing for 471 and four touchdowns. I mean, you saw their offense be able to sustain drives. You just saw overall energy raised to another level with this team. And I think that's the most impressive part about what Nick Foles has been able to do. It's not necessarily from the X's and O's standpoint, but what I'm seeing in terms of overall play of the team. And so I think this team is starting to build some momentum. And if they just so happen to be able to get into the postseason, if they can take care of their business on the road in the division against the Redskins and somehow, some way, Minnesota stumbles against the Chicago Bears, I mean, this is a dangerous Philadelphia Eagles team because they did it before. They've got the confidence that they can perform perform in the postseason. So I just look at this Nick Foles situation and say he's probably the guy that needs to be under center for the Eagles right now.
He is definitely going to be the guy under center right now, and I think this is very simple. I don't think it's complicated. I think that Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback for Philadelphia first game of 2019, unless Philly goes to the Super Bowl again. And at this point, I don't think you can say it's impossible. I think it's highly unlikely. But if Nick Foles, if they win this weekend, and I don't think it'd be take a big Minnesota stumble to lose to a Bears team that looks like they're going to play their guys. They said yesterday they're going to play their guys. The Bears are better than them, and the Bears theoretically are playing for a two seed
if the Rams lose. Yeah.
So it doesn't take a bunch of events for the Eagles to get into the playoffs. If they get in, they'll be the 6th seed. They will have no home games. If Nick Foles wins 3 consecutive road playoff games to get back to a Super Bowl.
And that would be what, the Bears, the Saints, and the Rams?
Most likely, it was some combination of that. Mm-hmm. Then I don't know that Doug Peterson knows who his quarterback is. If anything else happens, he does know. It's Carson Wentz. If they don't get in, if they get in and they lose in the first round, if they get in and they win a playoff game and lose in the second round, then as soon as Nick Foles loses a playoff game, a lot of this shine goes away and you start thinking more logically. Like, but if this run continues and the Eagles as a 6th seed go to the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, a team that looked like they were dead in the water, were 6-7 when he took over, and if they win 6 straight games, including 3 road playoff games, then it's a conversation this offseason. Then Howie Roseman is absolutely fielding calls about Carson Wentz. Now, I don't think it's going to come to that because I think it's...
If all that happens, you're going to lose all your wishes for the rest of your life. I wish this. Let me tell you what. If Carson Wentz, in the next month, if he's healthy, and he passes, if he can pass a physical, if he can pass an x-ray, he don't have broken bones in his back, he's going to be in the lineup. It's just a matter of NFL. This guy is better than that guy. And you guys, we've seen the last couple games. The team has played so much better around him. Let me tell you what the Eagles organization, I got tired of telling people this last year. You practice more in the NFL than you play in games. So we as players know who are the best players because we see them in practice. Nick Foles, one of the reasons why you're a backup in the NFL is why can't he? Because you're inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what backup quarterbacks are. If he wanted to make a push for this job, when they started the season as a world champs, what did he do?
He went one and one.
Okay, but how did he play?
He played well in their loss and poorly in their win.
Actually. Okay, and that's the story of Nick Foles. Let's not get carried away about it. All right, Carson Wentz, when he's healthy, he is the starter for Philadelphia. Nick Foles, his inconsistency speaks for itself.
Why can't you? I'm just curious. Why can't you just go with the hot hand when it comes to? Because we talk about how important momentum is.
Well, that's what I want to. I want to make sure I understand. See, you're saying that if the Eagles get in and they win in the first round, they upset the Bears, and then Wentz is cleared, you think they would bench Foles for Wentz?
He's not benching him. Carson Wentz got a broken bone in his back.
You think they would go back to Wentz if they had won a playoff game? You think they could go back to Wentz this year?
Yes, absolutely. I would, because he's better than.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I think Carson Wentz overall has a better skill set than Nick Foles, but I think that Nick Foles has gotten his team to respond, and that's undeniable.
Yeah, well, how many games has Darren Sproles played with him? How many games this year?
Both.
How many games did he play with Carson Wentz? Because he makes a difference in the lineup. What about the offensive line play? Jason Peters, the left tackle. Right, the left tackle play has been suspect. Lane is playing better now at the right tackle. The defensive rush is starting to come. What about that secondary that was dead? What if the defensive back that reads Amari Cooper's route
picks it and goes?
Yes,
absolutely. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. And I want to make this very clear. Mm. I am not predicting that the Eagles are going to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm not predicting that they're going to make a playoff game.
Yeah.
But let me ask. I want to ask you the same question I asked Chris. The scenario he laid out, which is if the Eagles make the playoffs and if they win a playoff game, and that week Carson Wentz is cleared, full go. You're Doug Peterson. Do you make the quarterback change?
I think it'd be hard to justify that just based on what Nick Foles would have done to that point. And so going on the road and actually winning a playoff game, I mean, that says something. And that's coming off of what he did last year in the postseason. Now, I'm with you.
You guys keep saying what he did. What about the rest of the team? Like, are we missing this? Like, is it all of a sudden turned into golf? Is this tennis?
No, but CC, I will say this, man. When you're in the locker room with those guys and you know this, when you have a guy under center that you believe gives you a chance just based on the way that he's playing, then you'll roll with him.
Now, yeah, I'm about to say, you're a defensive player.
Yeah.
You think that way. I'm a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the most talented guy because I know better. Mm-hmm. And I know how all the components. If I don't support him with a running game, which look at Nick Foles. Look at their play distribution when they win and when he plays well compared to Carson Wentz and the lack of support that he's gotten. The only thing that I like is for Doug Peterson to be more aggressive and to have Carson Wentz throw the ball down the field a little more. That's the adjustment that I would make as a wide receiver because we know who's the most talented. We know who can make the most plays.
You mentioned as a wide receiver. Who you think Alshon Jeffery is eager for Carson Wentz to come back?
He's
or you
the,
think
he might
he's
be the only one.
That Nick Foles is in there?
He knows it's not Carson Wentz's fault that he's not being directed on the routes sure. down the field. He knows better than that.
But I will say this. The explosive plays in the offense, they just showed up in the last couple of weeks. And you saw it again against the Texans. They had 8 plays of 20 yards or more. I can't dismiss the fact that Nick Foles is a part of what we're seeing in terms of this Eagles offense being more aggressive and being more explosive.
And I want to ask you one question about something we talked about before the show, which is you talked about in the locker room. I know everyone who watches football knows Carson Wentz is a more talented quarterback.
Yes.
But in the locker room, they saw the hit we were talking about. What Jadeveon Clowney did, his helmet to the sternum, as we were talking about before the show,
yeah.
and Nick Foles missed one play,
yeah.
came back and drove him down
yeah,
the field.
That's your job. I ain't giving you no congratulations. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, you're a football player. You're supposed to take one in the chest and come back in there when you ain't no, hey, man, thank you. Congratulations. Yeah, everybody's out there doing the same thing. Man, don't thank me for what I'm supposed to do. Thank me for the things I ain't supposed to do. All right? That's what you're supposed to do as a quarterback.
All right, we got to take a break. Eagles fans clearly hoping lightning strikes twice. Candy, we'll see you a little bit later.
I hope so.
Coming up, what's the biggest motivation for Kevin Durant this offseason? Got a little Chris Broussard sighting next on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, we are joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard.
Cancel his flight, wouldn't let him leave.
Yes, hey, I'm here.
Studio audience is very happy that you are here. Calm down. We're going to get to all of your questions in just a second. Hey, despite a few questionable efforts by the Warriors, they're still in first place 35 games into the season. So now the focus turns to where Kevin Durant will play next year. And KD will have a tough decision. Does he stay to ride out the dynasty in Golden State, or does he leave and try and win a title with a new team? According to Durant, won't be easily swayed.
Man, ain't nobody can recruit me no more.
Why is that?
Because I want to dictate the environment that I want to be in. So it's just like, you know, you can't give me the bells and whistles and be like, you know, I'd rather see what you do on a day-to-day basis or like that stuff really doesn't impress me. Like, arenas and doing extra shit just for me. Like, nah, I just want to see if you're a real person.
It's interesting that he used the real person, considering he has 87 other fake Twitter accounts. Broussard, what do you believe is Durant's biggest priority this offseason? What is going to be the biggest factor that goes into what determines where he ends up?
Well, first of all, I think he's absolutely right. This is how he should feel in his 12th year. Nobody has to recruit me. I've won championships. I've been an MVP. I've been a finals MVP.
Right.
Nobody, I don't need to see, you can't come to me and tell me what you can do for me.
That wasn't too much different than LeBron with Magic,
exactly.
Right?
We all talk about Magic going to the house. On
waiting outside, sitting LeBron, there, right?
LeBron knew. LeBron decided, I want to go to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. What Magic and Pelinka did was stabilize the organization. Months before, mm-hmm. but once that was done, it was up to LeBron. He wasn't recruited. So I agree with KD on that. Mm-hmm. As far as his priorities, he said some other things in that podcast. He said that he wants statues, a statue out in front of the new arena. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all going to get statues, him and the other three.
He said the new arena they're building in San Francisco, that everyone's going to have a statue there.
Well, you ain't going to have a statue there if you're not playing there, if you never play there. I don't care that you won 2 or 3 titles
at
Oakland, right? Yeah. He also said, I want to get as much money as I can in my next contract. Those two things, statue, as much money as you can. That's
consistent.
Golden State, right?
If he's consistent.
That's Golden State. Now, here's what I think KD should do, Okay, I hope he's watching, because this is what I really think he should do.
He's been known to watch.
Right. And text. But I think, assuming they win this championship, okay, their third straight, if they lose it, all bets are off. But if they win this championship third straight, I think he should stay in Golden State one more year, play the first year in San Francisco, and go for four straight titles. Four straight titles is huge. Nobody's done it since Bill Russell. 1966. Magic, Michael, LeBron, none of them did that. If you win four straight, the whole, oh, he joined a 73-win team, oh, they won the title without him, that's out the window.
That narrative changes.
It's done.
Because the four straight, he was three of them.
Yeah. And, well, he would be four. He would be all four.
He's saying.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Absolutely.
And we could even look, because you could look at other super teams, Showtime, the Jordan Bulls, LeBron and Wade. They never won four straight. You know, LeBron was with a stacked team. They won two of four. So I also think if this talk about the Knicks is real, and there is legitimacy to it, it gives him another year to sit back and see what the Knicks do. See how the organization, it's already gotten itself together to some degree. But watch Porzingis. Can he stay healthy for a year?
Right.
Does he look like the second guy that I can play with? Do they get Zion Williamson or whoever else in the draft?
Okay.
Does Kyrie or Jimmy Butler or somebody else go there? Okay. So I just think the landscape will be better for him if he stays one more year, and especially if he wins a ring.
His comment, what I thought was interesting, and I'm glad you keyed on it, was stack as much money as possible, because that is very different than what we've heard. What's the rumors out of New Orleans with Anthony Davis? That $87 right. million doesn't mean a thing to him. What was with Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio? The money you can give me that no one else can come close to doesn't mean a thing to me. LeBron has repeatedly left money on the table by signing one-on-ones. Now, he wouldn't be getting the most money as possible by doing what you're saying, though. He would only be getting the most money as possible by signing the full boat extension. The one plus one, he would still be at some point sacrificing money. But he obviously would be sacrificing statues if he left. Here's the thing, and this is why it's so hard to parse. I do not think Kevin Durant knows what he's going to do.
I agree.
Because I do not think Kevin Durant knows what will make him happy. And that is, by the way, that's not just Kevin Durant. To a lot of people that aren't pro basketball players are struggling for that answer. Like, what will actually make me happy? I have all this success. I have everything I've ever wanted, yet I'm still finding myself wanting more. Why is that? You keyed on C off the air, not to bring it on the air, but I will. Like, Kevin Durant's got some little kid mannerisms to him, whether it's just like what he's fiddling with his hat, Jenna's joking about the social media stuff. He's still, even though he's in year 12, figuring himself out. So I think it's hard to read these tea leaves, because I don't think he knows.
I
know for a fact that in around January of last year, people in the Warriors thought he's gone this year, meaning last year. Like, during last season, they thought we're losing KD this coming offseason. So I don't know that anyone knows what he's going to do a year later in this offseason.
What it seems to me is that the one thing he doesn't want is the scrutiny. He doesn't like that. And I feel like the safest place for him to be would be to stay in Golden State. If he comes to New York, That's as much scrutiny as LeBron gets in L.A. That's every night. That's showing highlights. That's on the second biggest stage, basically, in the basketball world.
If you don't win in New York, it's not fun.
Not at all.
I mean, Carmelo, you just see it time and time again. But again, if he won four straight, I think he'd have a clean slate to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. What is he going to do? What's going to make him happy? Those things we don't know. I don't think it's a bad option to be able to stay there in Golden State. And he talks about, he also mentioned the arena. Oh, new arenas and everything, because that's the irony to that is they can have a new arena there. So I guess Madison Square Garden being renovated wouldn't matter to him either. So he's sending out sometimes, I think, the wrong message, because arenas do matter. Where you're going to go to work, they do matter, because they create your culture. Look at the Oakland Raiders now. They don't have no practice facilities. They don't have no Taj Mahal. When you're going there to work, it's hard to be happy when you look at LeBron and what they have with the Lakers and what Golden State is going to have. If you think these practice facilities and all that, then you're missing, because that's where you're going to be working. I just believe the NBA history is very, very important. Now, he can either stay in Golden State and capture that, trying to get four in a row if they're able to win this year, or If he wins three in a row and decides to come to New York or another franchise and he's able to win, I believe that's just as big or bigger than LeBron when he went back to Cleveland and had that one championship year, because I believe it will balance the basketball world. So if he's able to come back to the Eastern Conference, I believe that's the best thing for the NBA. I don't know if that's the best thing for Kevin Durant.
The one team we haven't mentioned that, again, it's because we don't know, like we said, what Kevin Durant actually wants, is to go to Los Angeles to the Clippers. And if he takes the not just the league, the city of L.A. out of LeBron's hands, that's another factor there. Right. And I know the Clippers, they've got two max spots open. I know the Clippers believe they're going to have a real shot at Kawhi and Kevin Durant, and certainly believe a very good chance at least one of them. And so we're going to follow this all year long. The one name that hasn't been mentioned here is Draymond. And I think that continues to be a factor. I don't think that ever got fixed. I don't think Draymond and KD are now playing video games together. I think there's still a bubbling tension that might be even exacerbated by how poorly Draymond's playing offensively. But that is, I mean, this is going to continue to be a story all year, because all year long, I think KD's going to go through ebbs and flows of what he believes he's going to do.
KD and Draymond, they've talked several times about this whole situation. Now, I don't think it's back to pre-argument in terms of their relationship, but it has gotten better. I still think there is some tension, but they got a long season left, so I think they can work through that. As far as the Clippers, you're right. If it's not New York, I think it's the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And when KD went to Golden State, the Clippers impressed him so much with their presentation. And Doc Rivers was a big part of it. Now, granted, Doc was president at that time. It was a little different organization. But KD was blown away by their presentation. Ballmer was a part of that.
And the team's better now.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great place to go.
But he just said he doesn't care about recruiting, doesn't care about any of that stuff. What's
that was your
point. Right, that's my point.
LeBron used to care about, like, he's really following the LeBron path. LeBron would take less money, and now he got to a point where he's like, look, I want the most money I can get. Yeah. KD's doing the same.
Going to the Clippers, having to play across, I think the whole
thing
should rest him out. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.